And we're rolling once again. Welcome to Deep Thinking,
number seven,
the motorcycle road racing podcast with Michael Gugis and Ed Sorbo. If you haven't figured out who we are yet, why are you listening to this? Hey, Plaid, how you doing? Neighborhood cat.
Plaid is a neighborhood cat named after Natalie Urwich's two cats, Stripes and Solids.
Plaid is not amused. Oh, so, Ed, what are we going to talk about today?
Sponsorship.
Sponsorship.
Scott Sorensen Facebooked me a question, and you can send yours also, but you got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And Scott is, you know, taking his kid racing, so he's at the club level right now, and he's got some
Slick
amount of sponsorship,
Nick.
And yeah, Nick is doing really well.
Nick's a good kid.
You know, and a lot of people are in that situation, right?
Right.
They're just getting started, and they see, you know, Rossi, and they want to know, how do I get to there? So first, let's blow up, let's melt down some big myths.
Yeah.
And the one that pisses me off the most is the person, the company supplying the sponsorship, can just write it off.
Write it off.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So if you have a business...
It just makes it go away.
The term write it off means that thing that you wrote off is an expense. It's like buying inventory. You don't pay taxes on your expenses. You pay taxes on your income. And so write it off simply means you don't pay taxes on that expense. It doesn't mean somebody else gave you money for that thing. It's
right.
Still a loss. You're paying out money for something.
You can write it off as a business expense is an explanation offered by people who don't have any business expenses.
Yeah, they
and
have no idea what's
going
on. No
idea what the hell they're talking about.
And another great one is a quote from a person who works for a big company and has to deal with all the sponsorship stuff, and
right.
She decides who gets what.
Right.
Well, that also means she gets all of those letters, okay? And a quote from her was, I loved it, if I get one more letter from some kid saying he's going to put my sticker on his trailer, I'm going to scream. The I'm going to scream part, I you know,
hey,
what she said exactly, I don't think I'm going to say on here. But, right? The point is, putting my sticker on the back of your trailer, it didn't do fuck shit for me. It wastes a sticker is what it does. I mean, seriously, you think that you're driving down a road and somebody's going to see the sticker and go, wow,
Lindemann
that's
Engineering.
Such a cool trailer and or truck rig. I want to have sex with that guy. Well, perhaps the Lindemann Engineering guy knows how I can get in with this dude.
Oh,
right? That doesn't happen. That's crazy.
You know what, dude?
You look like you got a trailer covered in stickers is what
pays.
It looks like.
There is, of course, some logic to it. It just doesn't apply to your particular situation. There's some logic involved in the physics of landing a probe on Mars. It does not apply to you getting to work in the morning.
Dude,
you
if
know,
you're driving a big giant truck down the road and it says Yamaha in giant leathers and it's clean and shiny, or Geico and there's a gecko looking at you,
right?
And stuff like that, that's a national brand. It's
right,
right? There is value for them,
exactly,
in eyeball exposure.
It's making some space in the consciousness of everybody who sees it. It's making an impression.
But my sticker in the bottom corner of your dirty ass trailer that's pulling an illegal left turn is not helping anybody. Okay?
One does have to be careful who they sponsor.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
Right?
So that's
the first thing, right? Is what is sponsorship and what are you required to do?
You know,
it's
funny. I've actually had friends of mine, people, fellow racers, ask me, how do I get sponsors? And I keep asking them, are you sure you want this?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
If you can, I mean, there's a certain, you know, excuse me, I'm sponsored by this person.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool.
It is
absolutely
definitely cool to get a discount for whatever, right? But there's responsibilities that come along with it.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Getting, with sponsorship, generally speaking, you get paid for work you have not yet done.
Or
that's a big responsibility.
Or you get paid, you essentially, the discount pays you and requires you to do some stuff that you wouldn't otherwise do.
Exactly. So
even if it's creating a website, making a post about how good the product is, even if it is running stickers and filling out forms and blah blah blah. You know, I don't want to mention the name of any particular tire company because at some point we might
want them to sponsor us.
See, this is part of it. You take money from somebody,
yep,
you
have an obligation.
Yeah, you can't talk shit about them anymore.
Right.
You know?
You were starting to press on one of the big things, right? Is if I do X amount of work to get this deal,
uh-huh,
sponsorship, okay? I spent however many dollars per hour to get it.
To get
if I can earn that amount of money or more just working a regular job, I would be better off doing that than having this obligation.
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of money, time it took to fill out all, to register, to fill out all of the
Yeah, you're talking about contingency forms.
I'm talking about a contingency form.
Which would be like the basic, that's the entry level. That's the first person get it, right? So contingency means if you run the product and the sticker, whatever their rules are, and then you get such and such results, they're going to give you a coupon or a discount or whatever.
Exactly. And I look at the amount of time I spent on that versus the certificate that I'd get in the mail. It's like, it's pretty much a wash.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have been better off. I'd have been better off going to the local tire vendor and going, please, please, please give me $20 off of this tire.
That's the balance you got to look at. How much work am I doing for how much am I going to get?
Right.
That's for you. That's all right. Okay.
Right.
So then at some point, most of us who are going to try to race a lot are going to decide that the sponsorship's worth it.
Okay.
So what's your normal first sponsorship? It's somebody you know helping you out in some kind of way.
Or some company that offers as a pre-existing racer discount.
You can sign up. You can go to Vortex and you can sign up and you can get a discount. And you run the sticker and they have a package, a sponsorship deal, right? They're
going
to accept this many guys.
AirTech.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lockhart was probably the first to do it on a big scale. But yeah, most of those companies do some version of that, and you're getting a discount.
Right.
And then here's the thing that I see happen, right? People make the deal.
Right.
And then they complain about that product.
Yeah.
If my product X from sponsor so-and-so, you know, hadn't broke, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, you first of all signed a contract. Okay?
It is a contract.
You know, and the interesting thing that people don't notice about that is you never know who is a sponsor. Who's going to be a potential sponsor in the future, right? So I'm a perfect example. Somebody was bitching to me about the product that they accepted a sponsorship deal on.
Okay.
And by the way, they had crashed and damaged the part. And it's the part's fault for being damaged somehow, right?
Because we're racers, it's always somebody
else's fault.
What's going to
happen if that person ever sends me a sponsorship request? Right?
It's funny. It does. It obligates you. You know, I'm sitting here. You know, I just mentioned like Woodcraft, for example, and I cannot endorse those guys enough. That family, the Wood family, has done more for this sport than almost anybody else in the United States. Love those guys. Okay, but it's funny. I mentioned them.
I agree.
And then I start to think about everybody else who's helped support me with discounts, a little free thing here and there throughout my career. And part of me wants to just spend the rest of this podcast naming all of those companies and thanking them. It becomes part of your consciousness as a racer. And you start to understand that it's not your job. And this leads to a bigger thing. Your job is not just to win races. Your job as a professional road racer is to represent those companies. Even if somebody has given you a helmet for 50% off, you have agreed to represent that company in exchange for that money. And if you talk shit about them, they cut it off.
And you make yourself look like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, not everybody can win, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that it's only one winner per race.
Yep.
I could be wrong on this. The other guys have to create value for their companies.
Yes, exactly. And so the model that the companies that are giving out this blanket, pretty much anybody can get it deals, they're looking for exactly what you just talked about. They're looking for some loyalty.
Right.
Right. The best form of advertisement is word of mouth.
Yeah.
Right. And so when, you know, your friend comes walking up and says, hey, I see that you got, Woodcraft rear sets.
Right.
Right. How'd you like them? And then you tell the true story about how you liked them. And, you know, maybe the true story is that, I had a warranty issue and those guys fixed it right away. Right. Whatever it was, you tell some real, truthful, positive thing. And the person listening judges probably correctly that you're honest about this.
Right.
And they put a little plus in the category for that company in their mind. And then at some future point, when they're ready to buy a product that this company makes, they're more likely. That's a successful sponsorship package. It's good for everybody.
At that level.
Right?
At that level, absolutely.
The company isn't expecting you to sell shit for them.
Right.
They're expecting you to represent them
in
a positive way, in a truthful way. If you can't honestly say this product is good, then you should end the deal.
Yes.
Right? Write them a letter, send the stuff back, say thank you, whatever, right? Don't do it dishonestly.
And especially with safety gear. Don't use stuff that makes you feel unsafe.
So the good sponsorship deal is a win-win for everybody.
Right.
It's working for everybody. Okay. So that's fairly simple. Then on to the next level. You're starting to move up to maybe the national level. So the next thing after a discount is probably going to be some amount of some free product. Right.
Okay.
Obviously, the ultimate goal is a check, actual money. Right.
Wow.
But you have to work towards it, and you got to remember: look, what am I doing? So you send in your list of the 27 races that you won and the 82 where you were second, and we don't give a fuck.
Right.
We being anybody who has a business, right? What we care about is the goodwill that you can provide.
Yes.
The fact that you won a race that had one other guy in it is valueless. Other than you learned important life lessons and you demonstrated that you're a good human.
I'm
going
to argue with you because that guy is still in the paddock. And he's
the race win didn't matter. The representation matters.
Okay, and if that's the reason the guy is there, if he's in a smaller class, you know, less populated, there's still a value because Ed.
Yeah, you tested the product. You actually showed up. Yes,
you showed
you're
up.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And
valueless was a little harsh.
But here's the other thing, too. It doesn't matter. It might not matter to the company. I send you my resume. You know, I've got 400 race wins. And
Don't do that. We don't want to see that.
Right.
We don't have time for that shit.
But that guy is still perceived as a winner at the track.
Yes.
So other people come over.
Yes.
People want to talk to him. Why do you use, and you know what, hey, the guys at Woodcraft, you're going to get an invoice from us, okay, for this podcast. You know, why are you using that product? You attract a little more attention at the track, which helps generate that goodwill. I notice that when I go to professional races, I look at what's on the bikes. I look at what kind of equipment they've got in the background. You know, the next generator I get, I've decided on it because of what I've seen. At the racetrack, what are guys using? Hey, does that work? Word of mouth is important at the national level too.
Word of mouth is the number one way of selling anything anywhere at any level. And you know, the problem is at the world level, you can't talk to that many people. So you have to have some other version of word of mouth. So then that's when you have endorsements, right? So you have a picture of, Rossi, and he's holding up an AGV helmet. Right? That's Rossi's word of mouth to millions of people that AGV is the way to go. So we've covered a little bit that, you know, clearly you have an obligation, and it's not always in your benefit to take a sponsorship deal.
Yeah.
You've got to do more work than it's worth.
Right.
And also remember that the amount of time you spent isn't just for the one company that you got a yes from. You got to include all the time you spent writing to all the letters where you got all those no's.
Oh, hey, by the way, if you've got a bike covered with stickers, Ed and I are looking at you and we're thinking to ourselves, wow, those people all paid you to have those stickers on that bike?
Yes.
Exactly. And if we ask you that question and you say no, we will spend the rest of the day laughing at you. We're not even going to have the decency to do it behind your back. We're going to point and laugh. Maybe in front of your kids.
Once you start racing and you have numbers on your bike and you have a license and you're lined up on the grid, the stickers that are on your bike that aren't a sponsorship deal in some form or fashion is bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're devaluing everybody else who did the work of getting those stickers.
Absolutely.
So, for example, for myself, right, every job that leaves my shop, Lindemann Engineering, there's stickers on there.
Right.
So far in my 3 years doing this, over 3 years now.
Is it?
One person has said, I don't want the stickers.
Was it me?
No.
Are you sure?
My stickers are on your bike.
You want to tell them how you got the sticker on the fairing?
I am a genius. You guys think people have to pay to get stickers on? I dropped Michael Gugis' newly painted bike and damaged the fairing.
In the van. Before it had even come out of the van.
The damage with a Lindemann Engineering sticker. Beat that. Okay. So people are buying product. People go to the Ducati shop and pay for a Ducati shirt. They go to the Honda shop and pay for a Honda jacket, right? I don't have to pay you to put my stickers on my bike. My stickers are out there all over the place, and I'm being paid for it. So let's get the scale correct.
Right.
Once you start racing, if there's a sticker on your bike from somebody for free, and I gave you a discount to get my sticker on the bike, you just told me, fuck you, and I will notice.
You use the word scale. That's the other thing you got to remember at the national level. The amount of sponsorship you're going to get from most companies is pretty minor in comparison to the amount of money that you're going to be spending on your own.
That is represented in the size and placement of the logos. On the professional bikes.
Yeah, and, well, okay, on the professional bikes. I'm talking about the guy that's trying to move up from the club level. The jump to the national level, it's going to be self-financed.
There's a gray zone there, absolutely, yeah. And the guy who started out with you early, your buddy, who's the mechanic at the shop down the street,
right,
who's done hours and hours and hours of free work for you and answers your questions when you call and all that shit, you leave his sticker on the bike.
Absolutely.
He earned it.
He got you to
when
the
nobody
place.
Else right. cared who the fuck you were.
Right.
The reason that there's a sticker on your bike is not solely financial.
Right.
There has to be some kind of support, some kind of sponsorship.
Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah, now you're making the jump to the national level, and now it matters even more how your balance of all your different sponsors works out.
Right.
And then you go up to the level where you're actually getting paid, and Chris Ulrich, in his most recent column in the back of Road Racing World magazine, by the way, there's Road Racing World stickers on all of my bikes.
Mine too.
Yeah. And his column called Adventures of a Boy Racer. Now it's Adventures of a Racer.
Right.
Being that he's a married father of two, he's no longer a boy.
Yeah.
Still a kid to me. Anyway, he talked about...
I've got socks older than him.
Josh Hayes rightfully getting paid more than Chris Ulrich because Josh has more value to his bigger sponsors because he wins more races.
Right.
Right? And then what Chris does to offset that is all this extra stuff,
right?
You go to events, you do the two up rides, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
I love this story because that's how I survived when I was racing in the AMA. You know, one of many reasons, right? I financed my gas costs by renting space in my trailer to other racers.
Right.
I need to get their shit to there, right? So you do it. And so my biggest sponsor was Bridgestone, and they gave me free tires for 6 years. By far the biggest dollar value sponsor of all of them, right? John Ulrich called me a Bridgestone evangelist. Right? I got exactly one podium finish in 6 years of AMA racing, right?
But how many tires did you sell?
At Mid-Ohio 1 year, I think it was 2002, at the end of the weekend, the head Bridgestone guy who went to all the races came over to me and told me that 11 250 racers came to him during the weekend and purchased a set of tires to try. They were all on different brands.
Right.
And they all said, I came here because Ed Sorbo has been telling me how great these tires are, and I want to try a set.
Yep.
Dude, if you can't win, then sell that shit some other way.
Right.
Right? You can be highly valuable.
But you become a salesman, and that's the important thing that you
gotta
remember.
The beauty for me, right, is that I love those tires. Those tires solved problems I was having before, and those tires were working great for me, and the service was unbelievable, and I was honestly telling people what I was really doing. Plus,
right,
I was kicking all those guys' asses. So the argument that their tires were better kind of went, nah, not better than him, right? There was a lot of angles to it, right? And I would judiciously hand out my takeoff tires to get people, here, try this set first. You know, remember their takeoffs, but give them a try, right? There's a lot of stuff that you can do, right, as the scale goes up. And then you get to the top level. And what you mentioned about Rossi a little while ago,
right,
they did those different sponsors for the off-season testing, companies that can't afford him during the regular season, right?
Because Rossi provides the value of exposure.
Yep.
Rossi provides the value of exposure. I want to say one more thing before we go to the two-minute warning. So you're new. You're just starting this out. You're trying to sort your way through this field. Now, we've been really honest here. We've told you, the listener, that anybody who's sponsored, it's their job to at least say, at least not talk shit about the product, and at the best level, to provide a positive endorsement of the product. How do you, as the new racer or the new consumer, how do you sort your way through that bullshit?
Oh, yeah, right?
Well, I've got the answer.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Big secret, $64,000 question. Listen to what is not being said.
Yes.
Look for the spaces. You know, I'm a little suspicious of the guy who goes like, this product's just shit. Because you know what? There's very little that's actually shit out there on the market. There really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can think of five tire companies. Any one of them you
They're
could win
great.
Races on.
Yeah, there's
you
no
know,
problems.
You could win races on all of them.
You don't know how good you got it.
Yeah, right? You know, some of us remember bias ply stuff. What I want to do is what I do, what I pay attention to, is I listen for the spaces. I listen to what's not being said. I look around and I go, huh, nobody is using this particular helmet. Huh, nobody is using this. And then I start to ask myself why. Now, if it's a deal like where Pirelli has a lockout, there's a sole tire supplier of World Superbike. Okay, I know why nobody's using Bridgestone there. They can't. Okay, so I take that for what it's worth. And it's really funny to me because companies want to do sole sponsorships, exclusive rights to things, because it makes they think that it gets them the exposure, and it does get them exposure. At the very least, you're guaranteed to be on the winning bike, even if you're also on all of the losing bikes.
You're getting off track again.
Oh, totally.
And we're out of time.
But I'm almost done. Okay, but the problem is that it also devalues the actual, devalues the message. Look for the things that people aren't saying.
So Michael is pointing out that you gotta pay attention to who you're talking to, and mm-hmm. when they're talking about their sponsorship deal. But therein lies another opportunity for that sponsored
Correct.
Rider. My example of Bridgestone Tire Evangelist is a perfect one of that, right?
Yeah.
I was able to overcome all of that by persistence. And
right.
serious, and my performance.
Hey, I was going to say your performance on the track.
I was always in the top five.
Exactly.
Well, pretty much always, right? And I was kicking all the asses of all those guys I was talking to.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Rich Oliver and say, dude, you got to stop using those tires you're beating me with. I went to the guys who were racing at club level where I knew I could make a difference.
Right.
And I did. So there's more than one way to solve this problem.
Yep.
Understand your obligations.
Uh-huh.
Take it serious.
Right.
Do you want to know why I choose to sponsor people?
Why?
Because they're serious. They're honest people that I
yeah.
like. That's
exactly.
all I'm looking for.
Yep, absolutely. Because those are the people who are going to have credibility when somebody walks up to them and says, why are you using that product?
2 minute warning.
Well, okay. Oh, speaking of tires, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I don't know, maybe you were hit in the head with a hammer before I got here. You want to talk about trailer tires.
Trailer tires are important consideration for many people, especially if they're traveling. And not just to far away races, but even close to home.
Oh, yeah.
So your trailer comes with trailer tires.
Right.
But they're expensive, and they tend to blow up, fall apart, treads come off. I have
really?
Lots of problem with trailer tires.
Have you?
And so I did one race trip in 1998 that was 10,043 miles.
Okay.
And that was 1 month of
okay.
the year. So I started using car tires on my trailer.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same sizes. They're right. radial. They run cooler, yada, yada, yada. And they cost like half as much. And all my problems went away. They run cooler, they do the job, and they cost significantly less than full-on trailer tires. Something to consider when you're doing your trailer maintenance this off-season. The show is Deep Thinking.
I'm not legally liable for anything that Ed just said.
Nor am I. My name is Ed Sorbo.
And I'm
He's Michael Gugis.
Gugis.
Thanks for listening.
Aloha.